Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father, thank you for your presence here. We gather as your children. You are our eternal Father, and you are the provider, and you are the redeemer. Thank you for this time that we gather in the name of Jesus. May His glory shine from us, from this place, and from each one of us. May our worship be truly given to you in spirit and in truth, to please you and to give you satisfaction. And we ask you, Holy Spirit, to examine our heart and convict us today powerfully, as He is your Spirit. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. There are many worshipers in the Bible. Today I'd like to introduce Job, who worshiped the Lord even in the midst of his worst situations. The God Job praised is the God of absolute sovereignty. Sovereignty of God means it doesn't work today, sorry. Just listen carefully. God has the full right, supreme authority and power over His creation. And God has full right to do whatever He wants to do with which He owns. And then God has full right to take all back that which He owns whenever He wants to. And lastly, God is in full control of all things. That's what the sovereignty of God means. But there are other thoughts, which is human rights. What is human rights? Human rights are rights inherent to all human beings. Human rights include right to life, liberty, freedom from slavery and torture, freedom of opinion and expression, and right to work and education, and many more, according to United Nations. And this definition is from a human race perspective. And this premise is based on the assumption that every human is equal. And this only works in the earthly realm, among human race, without the picture of God. In light of God's sovereignty, let me say this, a shocking statement. You may not agree, but it's okay. God can deprive any human being of their human rights. If God cannot do that, then God is not sovereign. So from a humanism perspective, no one would understand the sovereignty of God. But only those people who recognize there is God, there is living God, who is the creator of all things, we have to recognize that God can deprive any human being of their human rights, because God is sovereign. So God has the full right, supreme authority, and power over all creation. This is what it means, God is sovereign. And I believe Job is the worshiper of God who understands more than anyone about God's sovereignty. With this introduction, would you please turn with me to Job chapter 1. We are going to read verses 20 and 21. Verse 20 is on the screen. Then Job arose and tore his robe and shaved his head, and he fell to the ground and worshipped. In verse 21, he said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." If you recognize, the first song we sang today is actually from Job 1. God gives and God takes away. It's a very familiar song to all of us, and actually it's a Job's prayer. To give you some background of this text, Job was a prominent man in the land of Uz, which is most likely located around today's Jordan and Saudi Arabia border. And many Bible scholars believe that he lived somewhere after Noah and before Abraham. And if that is true, he lived after 2300 BC and before 1750 before Christ. And in terms of riches, Job had accumulated a remarkable number of possessions. Job 1:3 told us a glimpse of how rich he was. His possessions also were 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 female donkeys, and very many servants. You know, these are not relevant to us, and we don't know what this means, because these are animals, flocks. But in terms of, some pastor actually said, 3,000 camel means he literally owned the transportation industry of his time. Because camel was like a big container truck, so to speak, and 3,000 is a huge number that he probably owned 100% market share or something like that. Anyhow, he was very rich. And in addition to that, he had 10 children. Seven sons and three daughters. Basically, if anyone knows what prosperity is like, he was one of them. But one day he lost all his possessions and all his children. All of a sudden, he descended from a position of a remarkable prosperity to a rock bottom place of penniless destitute. And later, he lost his health as well. But at this juncture, that didn't happen. So we can only imagine his grief over all his loss, including his 10 children. He loved his children so much that he interceded on their behalf before the Lord every morning. And the text we read is a prayer of Job when these things happen, like an earthquake. Let's go back to verse 20. Then Job arose and tore his robe and shaved his head, and he fell to the ground and worshipped. Look at all the actions of Job. First, he rose. He did not just sit down or lie down in despair, but rose up to do something. And second action, he tore his robe. It is an action of a man in utter grief. And then he shaved his head. The hair is considered as the glory of a person in the scripture. And Job shaved his hair because he lost his personal glory. Everything left from him. And shaving of his hair expressed that situation. And then he fell to the ground. And this action is tied with the next action he worshipped. So there are five actions here. Rose, tore his robe, shaved his head, and fell and worshipped. One thing that just occurred to me, which is not in my script, is worship is not something that, you know, comes like that instantaneously. Just come to show up in the, you know, sanctuary on Sunday morning and worship God. It's not like that, actually. There's a lot of preparation step. And the worship, the word worship, which is shaka, which I introduced last week, when Abraham worshiped, the Bible rendered this term, Hebrew word, shaka. Shaka means to prostrate before the Lord. And Hebrew word shaka expresses a complete submission and surrender to the Lord. As you put your body in a position of lying down with your head downward and your hands stretched on the ground, you're basically making yourself completely vulnerable before God. That's what it means, worship, the word worship means. You are giving up all your right you have and letting God to do whatever He wants to do. That's exactly what the word shaka, worship, means in Hebrew. And Abraham worshiped God in the same way, in his full submission and surrender to the will of God, and so did Job. Now look at verse 21. And he said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." So in spite of his suffering, Job did not give in to bitterness or resentment. He refused to blame God for wrongdoing. I remember a friend of mine, when he lost his mother, he blamed God for his loss. And later, when he closed down his business, he again blamed God for that. It is hard not to blame God or someone when something goes wrong. It is harder to worship God through suffering, but that's what Job did. He was a worshiper in good times, and he was a worshiper in bad times. And Job's worship did not depend on his circumstances. This is something that we need to learn. And Hebrews 13:15 says, "Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to Him a sacrifice of praise." You know, we are created to worship God. And we are redeemed to worship God, and we'll continue to worship God in all eternity. So worship is something that God has given as a gift, that we ought to do it continually and unto all eternity. So worship will never stop. So from Job's example, we need to cultivate worshiping God day in, day out, rain or shine, in good times and in bad times. So naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return. From this, Job understood life with two actions: come and return, or depart, or go. Come and leave. And in both cases, with adjective naked. Come naked and return naked. That means he brought nothing into this world, and he will take nothing from this world. You know, for those who are a parent, you fully know this. When your baby arrived, your baby was literally naked. Correct? And when you depart, you will also be naked. I was in a cremation site of a dead person and saw the dead man naked in a box right before he was sent to the the furnace. So completely naked, nothing on his body. So that implies we all leave this world naked, just as we all have come naked into this world. So from this Job's confession, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return there. This is actually Job's perspective, human perspective. But the next phrase, the Lord gave and Lord has taken away, is life described from God's perspective. Life is summarized according to God with two actions of God. God gives and God takes away. In a sense, we live in a mirage or illusion as if we own something. Do you own a lot of stuff? Your clothing, your car, your house, your children, your properties, and so on. In reality, everything we have is on loan. It's not a philosophical statement, it is reality. This is the real reality, not mirage or illusion. And God grant to keep what we have for a while, for a short period of time called a lifespan. Whether that's one day or 100 years or 60 years or 25 years, depending on how long you're going to live, that is temporary. And all things that we have has expiration tag on it. When we leave, we have to give it back. When time comes, God will take them back to Him because He owned it from the beginning. He just granted to us for the time being. So whatever we accumulate during our lifetime must be surrendered, whether we like it or not, at death. Even our own children belong to God. They are entrusted to us for a short while. Our parents are earthly custodians, so to speak, of their own children. God made them and God owned them forever. You know, when Rockefeller died, a reporter asked Rockefeller's accountant, how much money did Rockefeller leave? The reporter, the accountant replied, everything. There are two things we can observe in a funeral. The first thing is that the dead person's hands are always loose and empty. And he has nothing grabbed in his hands. And the second thing is that the garment called shroud that wrap the dead person for burial. Have you noticed shroud in the open coffin? It has no pocket. Have you noticed that? Next time you go to funeral, pay attention to this garment that wrap the dead body. It has no pocket. You cannot take anything with you when you leave. So the Lord gave and the Lord has taken away is the best expression in the Bible for God's sovereignty. God has the full right, supreme authority and power over His creation. God has the full right to do whatever He wants to do with that which He owns. And God has the full right to take all back that which He owns whenever He wants to. Everything we have is from God. We don't own anything, including our own life. Therefore, we don't have any right to claim anything. If you agree with this, you can be a worshiper like Job. And you can worship him in good days or even in the bad days. Would you turn with me Daniel 4:37, 4:35? Daniel 4:35. Daniel 4:35 It says, and all the inhabitants of the earth are accounted as nothing, and he does according to his will in the host of heaven and among the inhabitants of earth, and no one can ward off his hand or say to him, what have you done? Do you know whose prayer is this? It's a Daniel 4:35. It's not Daniel's prayer, by the way. It's a prayer of Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of his life, this is his conclusion. When he realized that he's not sovereign, but God is sovereign. God is sovereign over this powerful empire, which is called Babylon. He thought he was sovereign, but he was taken out of his throne by the sovereign Lord who is above him. And this is a confession of Nebuchadnezzar. So Nebuchadnezzar at the end of the day understood the sovereignty of God. He worshiped the God of absolute sovereignty. And the last portion of verse 21 is, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's the conclusion. Job prays God because God is worthy in and of himself. Not because God relieved him from his suffering. And even when he lost everything, even when he was in grief with loss of all his children and all properties, God is worthy to be praised. Job was a worshiper of the God who is absolutely sovereign. Job rejoices in the sovereign God who gives and who takes away. He knew that at his deathbed, he will own nothing. So he just put that forward a little bit and praise God. 1 Timothy 6:7-8. This is Paul's confession. And we have brought nothing into the world, so we cannot take anything out of it either. If we have food and covering, with these things we shall be content. You know why contentment is hard? It's because we don't worship, we don't recognize the sovereignty of God. But once we really understand the meaning of sovereignty of God and embrace that, our contentment begin to springing up from our heart. As Apostle Paul's confession here. Contentment is definitely the gift from God to those who embrace the sovereignty of God and practice. I think each and every day we need to practice that we are going to die and think as if we're going to die today. And with that attitude, we can truly embrace the sovereignty of God and be content. So Job's worship is basically was not of good times prosperity. And Job's worship was not of what God was in history or your past, but now. And Job's worship was not what he needed. He didn't worship God because he needs something to God. I mean, God definitely listens to our prayer of in need, but something we need to learn is we need to worship God no matter what happens. Even if he doesn't give, even if we have a lot of need, need should not be the focus in our worship, but God himself. So Job's worship was not of what he needed, but just of who God is. He's so worthy to praise. And Chuck Swindoll mentioned this statement. We brought nothing in, we brought nothing out. In the meantime, everything is on loan. Everything you have now is from God. So be content with your life. Don't compare with others. God gives more to some people. God gives less to some people. That's God's right. So don't argue against that. And don't envy the rich people, the rich and famous, when you watch the program, you know, I remember when I was young, I got, you know, I wasn't comfortable. How come he's so rich and, you know, I'm not? But that's from God. I argue with God. It's a God's jurisdiction. God blesses. So be content with your life and stop striving to get more. Rockefeller, before he died, the reporter asked him this question. What is the one thing that you'd like to do more in this life? He said, I want to make money a little bit more. And then he died 6 months later, and his accountant said he left nothing when he died. So stop striving to get more. Hold everything loose, because you're going to be loose. Your hands will be loose anyhow. So hold everything loose. And be generous to others. And be rich to the Lord. And worship the Lord in good times and even in bad times. Rejoice in the Lord always. Pray to Him continually. And blessed be the name of the Lord. That is our confession. Let us pray. Father, each time we are encountered with this verse, the Lord gives, Lord take away. And naked I came, and naked I will return there. This let us think deeply what life is all about. Father, we truly thank you for your being our owner. And all the things that we see are from you, and our possession, our life, our children, our career, or lack of that, are all from you. And even our hair, even our looking, even our skin color, they are all from you. And there's nothing that we brought with us, there's nothing that we will take with us in your kingdom. Father, from that perspective, let us be humble before you, and let us be holy, and let us be generous. Let us hold loosely of the things. We praise you, and we will continue to worship you in rain or in shine. And you are worthy of all, because you have your inherent worth. Father, let our life be like life of Job, and to give us courage and give us the power to live. We praise our sovereign Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. When I'm found in the desert place, though I walk through the wilderness, blessed be your name. every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be your name when the sun's shining down on me, when the world all as it should be, blessed be your name. Blessed be your name on the road marked with suffering, though there's pain in the offering, blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your glorious name. You give and take away, you give and take away, my heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name. You give and take away, you give and take away, my heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your glorious name.
Father, we are so privileged to know you. And are saved by you, your Son Jesus. And maintained and sustained by you, even this bright sunshine, unless you made it and set it that way, we wouldn't have this light. And we freely breathe this fresh air that is also from you. Father, we are so thankful to have this worship service today. Even this worship service, we have it because of you. We truly bless your name in each and every moment. And let us truly prepare ourselves to face you every day, so that our worship will be from the bottom of our heart, from our sincerity, and from our purity. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and love of the Father and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us forever. Amen. Would you be seated for the moment?